Let's first of all turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter and chapter 1. 1 Peter and chapter 1. And I want to start reading. Now, what I want to show here, first of all, and that's why I will go through certain scriptures, all right, the way and manner in which Paul used those scriptures, Paul and Peter, because what I want to show is kind of what we'll call a prophetic pattern that we have in the Word of God for the kind of challenges a person who is building a work will face at various stages, right, in that particular work, and to show what the prophets said about it and how we should deal with those things. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, first of all, I want to establish the relevance and the essence of the book of the prophets. When we say the book of the prophets, we're talking about, all right, what the scripture calls the prophets. That is, you start from Psalms and then you end there in Malachi, where you have the major and what they will say minor prophets. Minor doesn't mean what they said was less accurate, but they're just saying the size of the books are smaller, all right? Okay. So 1 Peter here, chapter 1, and I want to say something here. Verse 3, it says, "Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which or who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again," or got us born again, "unto a lively hope," or to a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, what is that hope? And it says, "to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And then it says in verse 5, "that you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So there's a salvation that is ready to be revealed. And it says, "we are preserved by God's power unto that salvation, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory." And then it says, "receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Now, here's where it starts. Of which salvation? That is our present salvation. "The prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you." In other words, the prophets prophesied of the grace that shall come to you. Now, let me just say this here. The Bible says a testament doesn't come into force until the testator dies. For without, all right, him dying, in other words, what he's saying is that a testament, all right, or a will doesn't come into operation until the writer of the will dies. You understand that? So, but the will must be written before the testator dies. Do you understand what we're saying here? That is, the will has been written, but it didn't say a will is written after a testator dies. It says a will comes into force. In other words, the will had already been written. I want to show this here. And the Bible says our tongue is the pen of a ready writer. In other words, when the prophets were prophesying, God was writing something. After Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, what was contained there came into operation. So he was writing about our inheritance. And that inheritance now came into operation. And I'll see that this is what the apostles were saying, all right, after the death of Jesus. So it says, "of which salvation the prophets inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come, searching for two things, what and what manner of time, in other words, the content and the timing of its fulfillment, of the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, all right, did signify when he testified, that is, the Spirit of God in them, when they were prophesying, was testifying of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So the Holy Ghost was testifying as they were prophesying of two things, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that shall follow. Unto whom it was revealed, that unto the prophet, that not unto themselves, but unto us, did they minister the things which are now reported by them that have preached the gospel. In other words, the gospel is a report of what the prophets prophesied. Now, you follow what I'm saying here? Which means that the gospel there, it tells us, Peter said, they are, and I'll show that this is where Paul got his revelation, and he stated it. He said, of which, all right, the prophets prophesied, all right, it tells us, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported to you by them who have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And it says, which things, that's what the prophets declared, right? It tells us the angels desired to look into these things. So we are saying this inheritance, right, was prophesied, right, was in, look at it in the book of Prophets, they declared these things. Then after Jesus died and shed his blood, these things now came into operation. So if you look at Romans chapter 1, I want to say that, so when we're reading the book of the prophets, we need to understand that they were talking to us. Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Hear what Paul said. Or from verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated, all right, unto what? The gospel of God, which he had promised afore by who? His prophets. In where? The Holy Scriptures. Now, go on, all right, and he now goes on in chapter 16. And hear what Paul said here. Chapter 16 and verse 25. Now unto him that is of the power to establish you according to what? My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Right? According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the what? Prophets. In other words, what was kept secret from the foundation of the world, which was the gospel that he was preaching, he said, it is made manifest by the scriptures, all right, of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, right, for the obedience to their faith. All right, literally it reads, but now is made manifest through the scriptures, all right, of the prophets, right, and he said, this mystery that we are speaking about. In other words, when Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, this is what he was talking about, when he said in verse 3, he said, how that by revelation he made known unto me, all right, the mystery, all right, which whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles talked about it should be. And then he went on and said in verse 8, unto me, all right, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the fellowship, all right, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus. And Paul said, listen, I mean, Paul didn't get a revelation from his head. He had to have some authority to back what he was saying. In other words, what Paul was showing us was that he went into, all right, the book of the prophets and began to pull out, right, the things. That's why the Bible says this righteousness was witnessed to by these things. All right, began to pull out all these things in order to show us today, as he wrote his letters, those things. Now, hear what Peter now said about it. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, or from verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before. By who? The holy prophets. One, and then the second. And the commandment of us, the apostles of Jesus, the Savior. In other words, said two things is what we are showing you. The words of the prophets, and the second thing is the commandment, right, where the apostles of Jesus received. So there were two ways in which they will look at it, right? If you came out, and I want to show something here, and you know, you were teaching, you either had to refer, all right, to what the apostles were saying, or you had to refer to what the prophets prophesied. Now, let me show you something. There was a debate, and that's how they authenticated everything that happened in the church. When they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they said they were drunk, Peter said, I will show you something in the book of the prophets. That's the way they were taking it. He said, this is that which is written. Now, what I want to see is that the prophetic word describes everything that will ever happen to you as a Christian. And I want to say this, the neglect of the prophetic scriptures is what is making people not see and decode certain things they should. Because Peter came and said, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. This thing we are preaching, we are not our own imagination. He said, where did we get it from? He said, we were with Jesus on the holy mount where we heard that voice. He said, but you have a more sure word of prophecy. That even if we told you Jesus told us, we must show you in the book of the prophets that it was said there. Or else we could be lying. So when the debate came on the question of circumcision, and they said, let us go up to the apostles in Jerusalem to find out who is right, how was the judgment given? The way the judgment was given, right? And it had nothing, look, all right, let me leave that, right? It had nothing to do with, you know, well, the apostles. No, this is what the apostles did. See what James did. Acts chapter 15 and verse 13. And then when they debated and came forth, Paul came with Barnabas and they got there. Acts 15, 13. All right, Peter spoke, and after he spoke, and after that, and they had held their peace, James answered and saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to these agree the words of the what? Prophets. And he said, agree. This is how they came to who was right. He said, agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles whom his name is called, seeth the Lord, who dwelleth all things, known unto God all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is. He cited something in the book of the prophets and said, here is the judgment. Decisions weren't made by discussion, but by revelation of what was written. Now, so where I'm getting to is this. Peter said two things. The commandments of the apostles or the writings of the prophets. When you say, I am going into ministry, and I want to say something here. I'll say strong things to you. Because many times you hear young preachers today, they say, what is your mandate? They will say, I'm called to raise champions in the marketplace. That's not a prophetic word. This is where I'm going. Show me in the book of the prophets or the letters of the apostles that commission. It's not there. Listen, this is where I'm going on. This is why we have a lot of mushroom ministries. The Bible says faith is the title deed of things hoped for. A title deed is where the governing authority gives you a document And there, it transfers the ownership of property to you written in your name. Which means that if a bank says, you say you want facility from a bank, the bank says, what do you have? You say, I have property. They say, all right, bring your property. You don't carry your property, your house, to the bank, and they bring it into the vault. What you bring is the title deed. Once they lock up the title deed, they've locked that house from transaction. The transactions of your ministry show us the title deed. Where is it written? To say I've been raised to, look, you got those things from motivational books. When Jesus announced his ministry, he said, here is the title deed. This day is this scripture fulfilled. When they came to John the Baptist, they said, where is your title deed? He said, go to Isaiah, I am the voice. You heard what Bishop Keith Butler said? Where his title did, the name word of faith came from. This is the word of faith we preach. Where is your champion in the marketplace? Show me. Are you following what I'm saying here? And when you don't have a title deed, that's why the demons came and said, don't say in the name of Jesus. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Who are you? In other words, tell us who you are. John the Baptist said, I am the voice of what? Who are you? And the funny thing is that you have your identity in the book of the prophets. You ask, where did Paul get his identity? Let me show you. Let me show you. Acts chapter 13. He got it from Isaiah 49. Because you can't navigate by just saying that I saw a light. Show us your title deed. We are not following cunningly devised fables. Because anybody can come and say, an angel appeared to me. Where is the, when the angel is leaving, say, come, sir, can you show me where what you just said is in the word? When they came to Mary, it was written, a virgin shall. Are you following what I'm saying there? Or else, we are open to anything. Are you following what I'm saying there? Acts chapter 13 here and verse 47. For so hath God, the Lord, commanded us. In fact, he said, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, they said, for so the Lord hath commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. You want to show the title deed? Go to Isaiah 49. This is the title deed. Isaiah 49 is the title deed. And it says here, all right, in Isaiah 49, it says here, it's a light thing that thou, look at it, verse 6. And he said, it's a light thing that thou should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give thee as the light to the Gentiles and the salvation to the ends of the earth. So before you name your ministry, you want me to show you title for Covenant Christians, and I can show you. Somebody asks, where did you get it from? The scripture there says, I have given you as a covenant to the people. That word there means as one that should provide the proof that my word is real. That's why we don't deal with theories. We deal with what? Proof. When he says you should be witnesses, he didn't say, he said that word witness means proof producers, not talkers. So, with that, we are saying the foundation of this thing is that our mandate must not come from what? Cunningly devised fables. Are you following what I'm saying here? Yeah, it's not about, you know, let's say I would just can, you know. It's not cunningly devised fables. But by a more sure word of prophecy. And the Bible says you will do well to take heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Anytime you're in a dark place, there is a more sure word in the prophetic books that will lighten that situation. So we are covered. He says we have an inheritance, it's contained there. He says when you're going through any test, when you're going through any trial, he said you're in heaviness. He said there's a salvation. They have spoken about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. You find it in the prophetic book. It tells you what will come out of that situation. So, it's not fanciful, all right, things, mandates that don't have their roots in scriptures. Okay? It's all based on that. But the first thing you've got to do is take time out, all right? Now, a person, I don't go into the number, you might be called, but not yet sent. And many people, based on the calling, they start without being sent. The first time you get born again, depending on the way God is, you might know you are called. But that doesn't mean you should go and start something. So, I mean, Paul was always called, but there was a time where, when they were ministering unto the Lord, they said, separate Paul and Barnabas to the work for which I have what? But they were doing some form of work of ministry before that time. Inside the local church. All right? So somebody said, when did you pick up? I picked up when I was sent. Are you following? I'm being honest with you. So what you are doing is that you are being preserved. Just like John the Baptist was being preserved in the wilderness until the time of his showing forth. And when it's time for your showing forth, the word enters into you and lights. And no matter where you are, if the prophetic word enters, it draws everybody to where you are. Are you following? You know, people say, you know, if you're really preaching the gospel, you know, people say things like, it's the reason why, you know, you guys have fast-growing churches is because your message is sugar-coated. When I was in school, someone came to meet me. He said, listen to me, our church ministry is so tiny. I said, why? He said, because we have John the Baptist ministry. I said, but the Bible says multitudes came to John the Baptist. In fact, there came so much that John the Baptist, can you imagine a pastor said, who told you to come? You guys, who told you to come? Can you imagine a pastor waking morning saying, and who told you guys to come here? Who told you? They said, listen, leave that. What must we do to be saved? Tell us. Are you following what I'm saying? So I told him, I said, listen, I said, can't you see the scripture? The Bible says multitude. In fact, it was when Jesus showed up and the mandate moved that the multitude started going. And John said he must increase, I must decrease. He said, are you serious? Which means somebody must have just washed his brain. So, the first thing is you've got to take time out. And in Leviticus 24, now Moses didn't, Moses, and you need to understand what we said, ministry is not your idea. Listen, Moses didn't go into ministry as a brilliant idea. That is, he got up and said, oh, the nation of Israel, they are suffering. Somebody has to do something about this. God had told Abraham that 400 years from this day, that your seed will suffer in this place. After 400 years, they will come out. So what happened was that Moses was entering into a prophetic word that had been in existence 400 years before he showed up. So when you get into ministry, you are entering into a lineage that has been running on the earth. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is not your idea. That is why, I don't get this, when you listen, it's very important, to people who are, all right, who have been in the company of people who have moved the frontiers of God's kingdom forward, they are carrying a river, a lineage. And as you listen to their teaching and you open the Bible, you find your identity.
Thank you for listening.